Have you ever been deceived? Really, really deceived. Really, really deceived. Tricked you. I could tell you 100 examples. I get deceived all the time. But I got to keep it really short, but that's the hardest thing for me to do. But one time in Tanzania, back in the days when we had the RTC, the Regional Training Corporation or whatever it was called, it was kind of like a government controlled, they were following the Chinese system, the socialist system, everything was government controlled, under systems. They had the 10 family, every 10 families had a leader, every 10 groups of families had a leader, so they could basically spy on everybody in Tanzania. But everything was centralized and controlled, and so it was quite a bit like what we're starting to see here in Canada. Now that's a joke. But where they want to dictate and control everything and bring everybody's equal and everybody's together and we're all just this happy group, but it doesn't really work. It's kind of like my Polish friends used to say, when they were tired of working back in the day, they all got terrible salaries and they're all working for this communist system. And if they got tired of working, they'd just take a great big wrench and throw it in the machine, it'd all stop, and then it'd all just wait till the machine got fixed and then they'd carry on. It was a good system. But Tanzania was a lot like that back in the day. And you'd go to the RTC store, the Regional Trading Company, or whatever it was. What? Regional Trading Company. And you had to apply for everything, to get sugar, to get flour, to get some soap, to do whatever you wanted to do. Had to ask for permits, had to ask to buy anything. So I get this phone call. I'm making a really long story out of this, but I get a phone call and, "Hello, Mr. Retton. We have your tires that you have ordered." I'm like, "But it's true enough because we have done it." And I'm like, "Actually, I didn't order any tires." And I don't know if I gave them the name, or you know how when you get pulled into a scheme and you just get taken along, you don't know if you're giving them the information. You know, those Nigerian scammers, and you know, you just send me $2,000 and I got $2.7 billion waiting for you. I love that picture. Anyhow, it's another story. I get tricked by them all, but so I'm like, I think I probably told them, but I didn't really order tires, but my friend Paul Prosser, Paul Prosser. And anyhow, so I don't know if I'm giving him stuff or he's telling me stuff, but Paul Prosser, I think that he's ordered. I said, "Well, he's not in town right now and he just happens to be in Kenya traveling." He says, "But if you don't take these tires, I have to pass them on to someone else." And there's just enough truth in all of it that you just keep going down the line. It's like, "Oh no, we don't want to lose those tires because if he doesn't need them, I'll take them because he can't get tires for your vehicles. It's part of this whole system. Okay, I'll meet you at the office. How much is it? I take a big stack of cash because you can't write checks. It takes 60 days to cash a check." So everybody's traveling around with big whacks of shillings and we go there, meet him in his office and we're talking. He's so official in the government building. "Okay. And would you like tubes with that?" And "Yeah, of course." "Well, that's another 15,000 shillings or whatever." "Okay." I pull out another big stack, put it on there. "Okay, just wait here. I'll just get your receipt." He goes out the door. Never to see him again. And I'm like, you know, those few seconds when you're like, "Is this for real? Am I this stupid? I drove down here. I gave this guy cash. He said, "You want tubes?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And I gave him more cash. And then it hits you like, what an idiot. I run out into the hall. I'm looking down. And he's left me with his little file in this office that isn't his, and it's nothing. And I'm running around the halls, and "You see this guy?" And everybody's, "No, there's no General Tires guy in this office. What are you talking about?" Anyhow, I bought my friend Paul Prosser some tires. So when he came back from Kenya, I tried to get the money from him, but he wouldn't take it. But my point is, when we get deceived, when we believe lies, when we believe untruth, there's part of us that wants it to be true. There's part of us that's gullible. There's part of us that helps the untruth along. Ken Solbrecken, hi. When did you sneak in here? Welcome to Ken and Lena. Well, this whole meeting is just going to go to pot here today. This is like historical. We love you guys. You know, Man, I shouldn't have seen you there. It's wonderful. I just want to honor you, Ken, and your dear wife, Lena, and honor your dad. And everybody in this church has known my testimony of getting saved through the Revival Center and Max Solbrecken's ministry into our life and just his love of God and love of faith. And Ken is his son and good friends of ours for our whole life. So, man, we bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Now, sorry, we'll talk after. Stay for coffee, please. Man, oh man, I shouldn't have let you give a financial. What are you doing taking all the time? Talking about money, money, money. So my text, this text was given to me 6 months ago in the lineup of preaching. It wasn't my choice, but I'm telling you, this text today has been the most relevant text for this entire week. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. I've been talking about 1 John. John just keeps going through these cycles of truth. You got to know the truth. Your doctrine has to be right. You have to know God. You have to understand him. Then that will affect how you believe and you obey it and you walk in that light. And then you'll experience fellowship and you'll participate with Christ. And John just keeps going around and around and around. So in chapter 4, he's coming back. He kind of hits both of them. He hits the false prophets, he hits the Antichrist, he hits those lying teachers in Ephesus that were coming in like ravenous wolves that Paul warned them about. Now John is there confronting it, and he's telling them to be careful. And in the same chapter, he comes back to his whole theme again about God's love and how important that is. And if we don't love God, if we don't love one another, we don't love God. So last week I was dealing with love and the basis of everything we do. So I don't want to go back to that. So I'm going to just take the first few verses in 1 John chapter 4. It says this. Dear friends, reading out of the NIV. You can put up the next little thing. It's the caution, the command, the cause, the clarification, and the confession. How's that for the C's? It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. That's the command. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That's the caution. That's the command. The cause is because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He wouldn't have said these things if it wasn't true, if it wasn't happening. Many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he, the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So, John's back on this theme again, about how important it is to know what you believe, to know why you believe it, and to how important that is. And then when you get your thinking right and you start obeying, you start doing those things, you start walking in that, you will experience Christian life. And you'll walk into this relationship with God and fellowship with the Father and fellowship with one another. And this whole love life that we talked about last week comes alive. And it's not just a theory. It's just not theology. It's something that's living inside of you. So I just like to take a couple of minutes and go through a couple of these. First of all is the caution, don't believe every spirit. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. In Corinthians 12 verse 10, he's talking about the spiritual gifts. He says, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, or the discerning of spirits, to know if it's God's spirit, if it's man's spirit, if it's demonic spirit, what spirit is working in this setting? That gift of discernment, of discerning of spirits. It's not a gift of discernment, but the discerning of spirits, to be able to see beyond. So my point is this. Don't believe every spirit. Stop being so gullible, so foolish. This week, as I said, I've spent the whole week dealing with people who have been smashed and trashed by false prophets, by false teaching, by lies, by this semi-quasi supernatural spiritual stuff that they speak of that has no basis. And that's what John was dealing with. And he says, don't believe every spirit. But who's the spirit he's talking about? He's talking about people. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about not a little fat cherub spirit sitting on your shoulder. He says, test the spirits. Well, what is the spirits? Test the mindset, the value system, the world view, the heart, the spirit of the person who's talking to you or the thing that's going on around you. That's how you test the spirit. The spirit is that which is happening around us. He says there are many false prophets. We need to recognize the spirit of God. It's possible that we are capable to and responsible to do so. We need to know what is of God and what isn't of God. I'm trying to hurry this and I don't want to hurry it. There are many false spirits around, many false voices screaming at us and at the church. And people often want a weird word. They often, there's a hunger in people for spiritual things, and it's growing in this world we live in, and people are starting to realize the emptiness of the flesh and the world and the stuff, and there's this hunger. But when God moves, and when God starts to bring a spiritual hunger into people's lives, the devil moves too. So here's my point. You come to a realization you need God. You come to a realization you want to be part of a fellowship and part of a church and grow in God. Well, the devil hasn't been able to stop you from doing that. So what will he do? He will come and just get you off just one degree. Just move you off the truth a little bit. Get you to just accept a part truth, a heresy is what it means. It's just a little off. He's not going to tell you to go sleep with prostitutes. He's not going to tell you to go rob banks. We're not tempted with that. But he'll come with a lie. He'll come with something subtle. He'll use some, as I wrote it there, and I have to say it the way I say it, is he come with some weird word, some quasi-spiritual thing, and it's kind of confusing to you, and it's like partly true. It's kind of like my tire story. There's enough truth in it, and you kind of like, you're in need, and you kind of want it, and you're kind of accepting it, and it speaks, but you know, it doesn't sit right, because John says, you have the anointing, you don't need me to teach the truth, because you have the truth. But you know, something's just not quite right, but man, I need some help. I need a word. I need something. And it just knock you off just a degree. It's when I've often said, when God moves, the devil moves. When the supernatural happens, when there's a desire for God and the things of the spirit, our human flesh stirs up, gets overheated, rises up. We want to get involved. And there's also the demonic that starts to get involved. And we need to have wisdom to not believe every spirit, to not just be gullible, to allow God to speak through us. And I'll get to some more of those tests in a minute. I remember years ago, and I've probably shared this, I don't even know, but I have five sisters, but about four of them were financial advisors for a time. And they were doing their best, and they really wanted to help people get their finances right. And they had some good plans about term insurance and putting away the difference and just saving. And back in the day when mutual funds were actually a legitimate investment before they scammed us of everything. Anyhow, that's another preach. But they were trying to help people to make good decisions. But what she found so many times is people would come with an interest. They want to do right. Sisters would lay out some things, and you can try this or you could do this, and go away and think about it, plan, make some decisions, they go away. And in that moment, when they're open to making good financial decisions about their life and planning some things for the future, some weird uncle or some friend from high school or somebody would show up and say, you know what? I got this investment just now. And because they're interested, because there's a desire for it, there's some truth to it, I need to make some good, and they go off down some path, giving their money to stuff they should never do it, investing, and they'd come back, you know, 2 weeks later to meet with my sisters. Well, okay, why are we? No, we've taken care of it, and we bought some swamp land down in Louisiana somewhere. It's like, okay. So as people get a hunger for the things of God, as there's a desire, and I'm telling you, there's a rising in the temperature and the atmosphere of worship and the supernatural and the desire for the gifts and the desire for God. And when that happens, The enemy wants to come in and mess it up. If he can't keep you out, he will just keep you busy on the stuff that doesn't matter. And some of it's harmful, some of it rips families apart and does all kinds of things. So we have to use our heads. We have to listen to our spirits. We have to listen to God. We have to ask ourselves, what is of God and what isn't of God? And he says, and I just want to move to the last one. This is how we can recognize that is which is of the Spirit of God, by the confession. Every spirit that confesses or acknowledges Jesus Christ. This is the best test. When someone comes to you, when a word comes, a prophetic, a preach, anyone comes to you to test the Spirit, to know that which is of God, he says, every spirit that confesses should be a slash there, acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It sounds simple, but there's a lot involved in that. To confess Christ, to acknowledge Him, is more than just a lip service. You know, we've said it many times, the devil believes and he's not saved. It's not just a head assent, say, yeah, okay, I acknowledge that. Jesus came in the flesh, okay. No, it's actually a confession. It's laying down. It's a picture of someone just throwing himself flat on the floor and confessing and owning up to it. Owning up to Christ. Owning up to who He is. Confessing, acknowledging Him. If you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father type of ideas where we say, I'm in agreement with the purpose, with the person of Jesus, with the plans of Jesus, with the purpose of Jesus, with the priorities of Jesus. See, these P's are working good this morning. It's like we line our life up with Christ. It's not just know Him. It's know Him. And it's being born again of God. It's to have this spiritual connection with God. So when you say, you know what is of God, is when they come and they confess. They acknowledge. It means they line up their life with God. Line up their life with Jesus, with who He is, His person. If you think about just that, I could preach each one of these, but the person of Jesus, what is Jesus like? He's humble. He's meek. He walks in truth. He never comes and dominates and crushes. He had harsh words for the religious, for the legal folk, but the woman caught in adultery, she could come to Him, and I love the songs, and if I could sing it, I would sing it when He just kneels down and He writes in the sand, whatever He writes. And all of her accusers go away, throwing their stones one by one. And Jesus says to her, where have they all gone? Where are they? And they're not here. And says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's the Spirit of Jesus. That's the person of Jesus. He's gentle. He's kind. When I hear, see, I'm going to start preaching now because it drives me crazy. When I hear people in this city, ministries in the city, and I'll start naming them pretty soon. I'm going to give you an example in a minute. But when I hear what they're doing, the abuse they're doing to people, getting in between marriages, getting into people's finances, abusing them in the name of the church, in the name of ministry, in the name of spiritual things, I want to lose my mind. Can I just give you a couple of simple tests before I end this thing? I got a bunch of stuff. If somebody comes and says, I am God's spokesman between you and God, run for your life. There's times, there's the genuine prophetic. There's the genuine, when the word of God, when words of wisdom, word of knowledge, the ministry gifts happen, prophetic ministry happens, and we've tasted it and we've seen it. I've experienced it. It's changed my life. There's a place for that. But when someone comes into your life and says, I'm going to stand between you and God, don't do it. Someone comes and stands between you and your spouse. It is the devil that's involved in that. That is not the Bible. That is not God's way. God would not come and tell you via someone else, this is what's wrong with you. This is what you need to do. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. If someone gets between you and God, you and your spouse, you and your church family, you and genuine spiritual leaders in your life, don't allow it. I'm warning you. It's what John says. Don't just believe every spirit. Don't just believe every prophet that comes along. I don't care what their ministry looks like. I don't care how much signs and wonders and spectacular there is. Don't believe it. Test it. Prove it. Say amen. We sit with people and you just wonder, how can they get into such a mess? And they're Christians and they love God. But they've gone off one degree. They've gone off one step. Believe one lie. Just accept one false heresy. Just a little off. And they come under this heavy shepherding thing. You can't marry this one. You can't spend your money. You don't need to obey this. Listen to me. I am God's spokesman to you. I'm telling you, it's from the pit of hell. Jesus does not operate like that. Jesus does not come and condemn. When he comes, he speaks truth. His conviction hits us, convinces us to lift us up, to set us free, not to put us under a heavy bondage. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His yoke is his teachings. It's the body of that rabbi's teaching was his yoke. Come, follow me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' yoke sets us free. Doesn't put things on us and makes twice the sons of hell that the religious people were. They're not going into the kingdom and they weren't allowing others to go in. They come up with all kinds of stuff to keep people busy and confused. And what about this and what about that? I'm telling you, the gospel is easy. And the gospel is simple. You follow Christ. You obey him. The Spirit of God convicts you, convinces you. You walk in an anointing that you have inside of you that says, I know what I'm in is the truth. It sets you free. The other way is bondage. The other way is fear. The other way is control. The other way is manipulation. The other way is just trying to keep people in line. I'm telling you, if anybody's trying to keep you under them, run for your life. And every word that you heard preached, every word that's shared to you, every spirit that comes, test it. Don't just believe it. Put it before the Word of God. Put it before what you know to be true. Some of you ladies have an amazing gift of intuition. Don't let that thing die. It's also many times the ladies who get deceived. There's an openness to spiritual things. And if you don't bring it under a covering of a church leadership, under the covering of a husband, under the covering of the Word of God, whatever, you can be deceived. All of us. Because the devil uses that desire, that part of us that wants to hear God, that wants to know, that wants to a word, a fresh word. Well, I got a word for you. This is the word for you today. The Word of God. And if John was standing here, my battery is going to go dead and that's going to be the end of my sermon. Okay, let me end with this. I only got 14 of them. A word comes to you. Someone comes, a prophetic, a preach, someone speaking to you. You hear it. What can you do with it? Let me just go through it. Listen to the prophetic word and pray about it, what you hear. Ask God to bring clarity to you regarding the word spoken. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Ask God, is this from you? Keep a record of it. If you feel it's significant, God is speaking to you. Number three, some things will require your action or participation. Like if you're starting to say, well, is this God speaking to me? He's making this clear. Then what can I do to make sense of this? What are some areas that I can help to make and be part of this? Don't be discouraged if the time frame isn't instant for you. Often it may take time. That's James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Number four, ask God to show you any conditions he wants you to change in your life in order to fulfill that prophetic word. But often I say this, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, heard the words spoken to her, the prophetic words, the shepherds came, these marvelous, amazing things. She's just this little mother. Whoever spoke the word, many times the Bible says she hid them in her heart. She just tucked them away in her heart. Say, okay, God, if that's you, you'll make it clear to me. Then test the prophetic word. It's important that we avoid making assumptions about what God is saying. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. That makes sense. Test it. Prove it. Is this of God? What's good? Hang on to. What's not? It's like, get out of here. Meet with elders. Meet with spiritual leaders. Pray through the prophetic word. And 7, make a good warfare concerning the prophecies given you. Our enemy, the devil, does not want you to move forward, and he'll try to resist you. 1 Timothy 1:18. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. So if words have been spoken over you, God has made promises to you, even out of his word, or someone's prayed for you or spoken over your life, prophesied over your life, then ask God for wisdom to know what is from him, what's of God, and then how can I fight well for that? What's my part in that? What can I do? I feel God's called me to ministry, called me into something, called me to speak to someone, called me to do some business, called me to invest, called me into something. Then you need to take a few of these steps and say, okay, God, if that's you, show me. And then the last one, very practical things. And these are more from me now. Those last 7 were Charlie Price up in Grand Prairie, some stuff I've been reading. You can, and it's what I believe. But here's some practical stuff. Consider who is giving you the word. We're known by our fruits. Someone's speaking directly to you. Just consider who it is. That's what John says. Don't just believe every prophet. Don't just believe every word. It's like, you know, there's people in this church, if they speak to me, I listen. There's other people, I'll listen. But you know what I mean? It's like, there's no fruit in your life. There's no evidence. There's no, I don't see life there. I don't see the heart, right? Okay, I'll tuck that away. And we'll see what God has to say. Here's another one. Does it glorify Jesus? John 16:14. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will glorify him. 3, does it agree with scriptures? Man, we could talk all day about these. Not all prophecies are from God. Many are false. I've already said that. We have that anointing. But here's what I'd like to say. God will confirm to you. So I said, if someone's trying to stand between you and God, and you and your spouse, and you and your church, and you and spiritual leaders, and you and the Word of God, and they become that voice, remove them. Don't give them that power. It's okay. I give you permission to say, no. You don't have authority for that in my life. I'm going to pray about these things. I'm going to ask God to reveal it to me. Back in Tanzanian days, I've only been preaching for 28 minutes, so just hang on, you guys. Stay with me. I used to teach Bible school. I was the president of a Bible college for 8 or 9 years. Say wonderful. Praise you, Len. That's great. You look like president there. See, it's the truth. But we used to have a lot of zealous Bible school students, and they would love to pray all night, and, you know, I'd watch them come in the first year, and they'd pray all night, and then they'd sleep all day in class, and I'd say, you smarten up, quit doing that. Listen to me and quit praying all night. I don't know if it really helped them or not, but most of them left after 3 years very much religious and lost their zeal for the ministry. But God will help us and forgive us for those things. But they would, you can smile, it's okay. They would come in, and I still remember a couple of them, because we started having female students, first time ladies in the Bible college studying, and so we get all kinds of stuff going on. And there's a dorm set up. Some of the young guys, it was always the prettier ladies, they'd get a word from God. God's told me, you are supposed to marry me. Yeah. And then they come to me all sort of confused. You know, they're spiritual. There's a need there. There's a desire. I'd love to marry a pastor or someone's in ministry. You know, what is it? I just don't love the guy. I was like, tell that nut job to go and take a shower. And if God wants to speak to you, he will speak to you. You don't need to listen to that. You know, it seems like such a simple example, but you would not believe how many people this week I've had to sit with who listen to voices that are nonsense. They don't take it to Scripture. They don't take it back to what is right. What's the fruit of it? Who's saying these things? Is it scriptural? Is it glorifying to Jesus? Is it any of these things? And they need to just wake up and say, all that hocus pocus stuff, I don't accept it. I don't care if it comes in the theys and the thous, and I don't care if it comes with a scripture attached at the beginning and the end. If it's not of God, and it's not God clarifying it to me, don't accept it. Don't change your life around it. If something is there and you're saying, God, show me, teach me, I listen, tuck it away, ask for advice, ask God to confirm it. God is faithful to speak to you personally. And through these gifts, he can bring clarification and bring truth to your life. But don't just be one of these guys. Satan comes as an angel of light. He's not going to, I've already said all these, he's not going to tell you to join a cult today. He's going to deceive you just one line, just one little bit, just get you off. So now, I have to end. So what do we do? What would you tell me to do? Lori, when I was talking to Lori about this week, she said, so what's the good news in this? I'm trying to figure that out myself. The good news is if I spare one person from listening to a lie from the pit of hell, I feel like a champion. I'm telling you, I've saved a life. If you can just understand what true prophecy is, what the true spirit is saying, and if you just test it, if you just step back and say, okay, what's the attitude? What's the motivation? What's the heart? What's the worldview? What's the motivation of why this person is, why is this being said? Is this God? Is God involved in this? And God speaks to you and makes it clear, and you go after the word of God, I've helped you. If you say, no, that's not of God, I've helped you. And this is the wrestle I've been having. When do we start naming these false ministries in this city? When do we start naming people? Jesus rebuked the false teachers publicly. He did not mind a bit to just call them out. And I've got about five verses here in 2 Timothy where Paul does it. He's got these stupid names. I've been trying to practice them to say them properly. Phygellus and Hermogenes in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, he says, many have turned away, and he names these two specifically. And then chapter 2 verse 17, he says, Philetus and Hymenaeus, their false teachings are spreading like gangrene among the brothers. It's like this plague that's come. It's like gangrene. You can't just put band-aids over gangrene. You got to deal with it. And then 3 verse 8, he says, Janus and Jambres. Why can't they just have Bill and George names? But he says they're corrupted in their mind and they're disqualified. I love that. There's some people this week who I have said they are corrupted in their mind and they are disqualified. They do not have authority to speak into your life. I'm talking real terms with people I'm sitting with this last couple of days. I'm saying I am an apostle in this city sent by God. I am a pastor of a church, and some of them are involved and on the edge of this church. I have authority, and I take authority over all the crap that they've been speaking to your life. Stuff like, they have locked your destiny. And until you come into obedience, and until you surrender what she, the prophetess, has told you, your destiny is locked. Puke! Garbage! False! You know who your destiny is? It's Jesus. You know who unlocked your destiny? Jesus. And nobody's going to pray your destiny's locked until you obey whatever it is they're telling them to obey. Some of it is garbage telling them not to obey their husbands, not to walk in unity with their church, not to walk in unity with people. It's garbage. I'll lock your head. Man. Stop. And these are smart people. These are educated. These are not guys in the backwoods somewhere who have never read the Bible. They used to share the Bible one page at a time, getting a little confused about the spiritual gifts. These are people who sit in church. These are people who are educated and they're listening to garbage. Jesus set us free. Jesus broke every curse in my life. And not because I could go back and remember every detail from the womb till today. I'm telling you, I put it all under the blood of Jesus. And I'm walking in the freedom of that today. And I'm telling you, don't believe some of these corrupt-minded, disqualified, prophetic spirits that are out there. And then he says, Demas, he names him, he forsook me. Alexander the coppersmith, he did great harm for me. Let me go on. I got Romans 16:17. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So let's mark them. That's what I'm saying. When do we start naming them? When do we start calling them out? I feel like starting a website, get all the churches involved in stopping every one of these kooks that travels from church to church and from place to place, confusing and messing up households and taking away weak-willed women and teaching them garbage. We can do that right here in this city. He says, mark them. You can be seen in these verses identifying and marking them which cause divisions. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. I've already read that. After the tradition of men. Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose it. Reveal them. Avoid them. Call them out. Corinthians 11:19, no doubt, this is the one I want to end with. No doubt there has been factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When we follow this verse's instruction, we'll be exposing those who teach false teachings by being faithful to the Word of God. When we have factions, the truth of those who preach God's Word will come out and expose those who are false converts and teachers. As it can be seen through the Word of God, there is a biblical mandate to call out false teachers and their followers. I strongly believe that God allows false teachers in order to test whether or not the church will be faithful in it and to its biblical mandate to expose false teachers and to protect the flock. Here's the line. Often is the case, people are not victims of false teachers. But false teachers are the judgment of God to those who do not desire the truth of God's word. Think about it. Often is the case, people are not victims of false teachers. Oh, I just got deceived. But false teachers are the judgment of God to those who do not desire the truth of the word of God. You reject the truth, you're going to believe a lie. You fall for nothing, you fall for anything. You know what I mean? You don't stand for something, you fall for anything, whatever that saying is. I know false teachers who are active right now in the city. I wrote this here and I'm going to read it to you. Who are hurting the lives of people who are part of our church. When do I start calling them out publicly? When do I name them publicly? When? They don't worry about naming us. They don't worry about challenging what we are. When do we come into their face and say we take authority back? We don't allow that. We protect this flock with the truth, with the word of God. If you want to know names, come and see me after. The spirit behind it is usually a spirit of, and this is what I've already said, control, deception, manipulation, greed, self-interest, Jezebel, whatever. Everything Jesus and the Holy Spirit is not. Amen. So what's the good news? The good news is you can know every spirit that confesses, that acknowledges Jesus, that comes with a humble heart, that comes with an attitude of lifting up, comes with a desire to see you lifted, to see you set free, to see your marriage strong, to see your life strong, to see your finances come right, to see you succeed, to see, I'm starting to get mad. There are very few who are fighting for local church anymore. I go to ministerials and I got to hear about all the peripheral ministries that are going on, and nothing wrong with any of them. I'm not against any of them. But I'm telling you, the best thing we can do for the city is build a local church, to build a healthy church where there's a family, where we protect one another. And you heard the words in the prayer meeting this morning, how we come alongside each other and we encourage one another. And it was Ronnie's word about Jonathan and David, where Jonathan encouraged David. You need to come to the prayer meetings if you want to get those extra nuggets. But I believe in the local church. I believe this is where God speaks. I believe God has the fivefold ministry here on purpose. apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for a reason. I believe you can get healed. I believe you can get counseled. I believe you can find life in a family, in the local church. Is this the only church in Edmonton? Of course not. His church is universal. It's invisible. But the only time it shows up is when we get together in groups like this. You say, what are you so worked up for? I'm telling you, I'm getting sick and tired of people knocking and tearing people's lives apart, tearing churches apart, tearing ministry that's genuine apart. And you say, oh, are you afraid of something? No, we're in a good place, but I'm telling you, I'm getting bolder than ever to say, you know what? That's rubbish. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. Here's what Jesus is like. He will come and minister and bless you and speak life to you and lift you up. That's what each one of us needs today.